and welcome into this week's episode of You Seem Interesting. I'm your host, Danny Ruye. We took a week off. I fully admit that we did that. Took a week off for the holidays, but we are back in the new year. Happy 2021. Let's hope it's a little bit better than our preceding year. Not off to the most awesome start, I'll be honest with you. The end credits scene from 2020 was really wild, but we're trying to turn the page here. Appreciate you guys having us as part of your life, even if it's a very small little piece, while we just hang out on that cell phone until you say, yes, now I shall push play on this entertainment wonderment. If you're checking us out on Patreon, you guys are the best, lifeblood of the show. Patreon.com/FunnyDanny for all your You Seem Interesting needs. Quick announcement on that front as well, by the way. I started writing. Not a lot of demand for this, to be honest with you, but I wanted to do it. So I've got that outlet as well. I'll have it on the Patreon page. I'm exploring some other outlets as well to kind of start giving you some bi-weekly, or does that mean twice a week or once every 2 weeks? I actually don't know the answer to that, but just some fairly regular columns on goings-on, whether they be sports, pop culture, or otherwise. I've written about a couple serious things and one fun thing already, so if you want to subscribe to that, there's a new $1 tier for you if you just want to check out what I have to say in that regard. And I always welcome you guys popping some money over for the podcast as well, trying to give you guys multiple options at the buffet. This week is, I'm really excited about this guest. This is really, really cool. She's the youngest guest I will probably have on this program. She's 15 years old, an entrepreneur, already doing some amazing things, following in the footsteps of her parents, who are doing some amazing things. My guest will be Mahogany Young, and I'll tell you all about her here in a moment. But first, as we always do around this time, it's the moment where we have the most awkward gimmick in all of podcasting.
It is once again time for the strangest gimmick in all of podcasting. A moderately passable celebrity impression asking you for money.
Oh, Mishka, Mushka, Mickey Mouse. Hi, everybody. This is a very exciting announcement. You can go to patreon.com/funnydanny. I can't remember if I've done this impression or not before. I couldn't think of anything else to do. So here I am. What do you think, Goofy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I know. You guys are right. So let me tell you about Mahogany Young. Let's get on the good foot. This I saw this story, and as you guys know, I live in Washington, D.C., and I saw this story in a local online periodical called DCist, and they do a really good job of kind of taking on sort of stories that are of interest to local folks here in and around Washington, D.C., right? Whether they're sports stories, politics stories, kind of local feel-good stories. Just happened to click on the Twitter feed of DCist, and I saw the story. A 15-year-old, this is the headline, created a vegan candle company in Anacostia. I read about this young lady. I went to the website that she runs, owns, operates, called The Green Things. Just go to thegreenthings.com and you'll see what I mean. And was just really inspired by this. And it was really refreshing during whatever you want to call this time that we're in, where not a lot of fun is being had by not a lot of people, right? We're all just kind of stuck at home. And instead of doing what I'm doing, which is nothing and wallowing and being cranky and miserable and complaining about stuff and maybe on the side starting a podcast or two, Mahogany just got to work. And she's made this pretty successful company out of nothing, just out of her at her parents' house. They're also entrepreneurs, by the way. They own Mahogany Books. Must be nice to be 15 and have a bookstore named after you. But she began this, and you have a full functioning commerce website right now where you can shop, you can pay money, she can accept that money and deliver goods to you. It's like a regular old Amazon, except very local, very organic, very earth forward, very thoughtful. It is really, really cool. It's one of those reminders that a lot of us just kind of walk around, we do what we're supposed to do, we kind of inch forward in line, and you graduate, you pay off your debt, and you work a little bit, and then maybe then one day you retire. And then there's just some folks that are just different. And we're just put here to do something special. I have no idea what Mahogany wants to do or will end up doing in her life, but I guarantee you it's going to be cool. I guarantee you it's something that is worth watching. I was just so inspired by this story. And again, how do you come up with these ideas? How do you realize that there's a demand? The Instagram feed is incredible, where you look at some of the creative storing methods and how efficient she's become in terms of production and overnight. And oh, by the way, balancing being a high school student. A high school student. You remember high school? Remember how hard high school was? Remember there was like trigonometry you're supposed to know? Remember SOHCAHTOA? Remember all that? Remember all your history classes, your English classes, papers, tests, exams? Yeah, thank goodness that's over for most of us. She's eyeball deep in that. And oh, by the way, running a company on the side. It really is amazing. The spirit and the drive and the energy and just how sharp and well-rounded this kid is. So I was blown away by her story. So when I reached out to contact her, through her website, It was basically the neighborhood equivalent of me like knocking on the door and one of her parents answering and me going, hello, Miss Young. Is it okay if Mahogany comes out to play? Yes, that's fine. Make sure you're home by dinner. It's just so neat. I'm so inspired by it. And I wanted to make sure that they all understood this is, you know, this is not what I do on the show. I don't do like a gotcha thing, or I'm not trying to catch somebody or be critical. I want to highlight things like this. Stories like this are nice little replenishments, I think, for all of us, where there's no downside to this. High school kid is doing more. This high school kid, and this is, as she says, this is the byline here on thegreenthings.com. From my home to yours. Hello, I'm a kid in high school who wanted to create more eco-friendly alternatives to the things I already buy, and I wanted to share them with others. I'm a vegan, I love to cook, and I love film and photography. I'm hoping to soon expand this business to offer more eco-friendly products, including candy and shirts. Thank you for checking me out and supporting my small business. Yep, we just need more. We just need more. We need to shine a light on folks like this. So I've rambled enough, but I want you to get to know this wonderful young lady. So enjoy my chat with Miss Mahogany Young. Setting a record here on You Seem Interesting with my guest this week. She is the youngest guest I've had on the show by far, but it doesn't mean she's less accomplished. My guest is Mahogany Young. Mahogany, are you the owner? Are you the CEO? What did you call yourself for the Green Things?
I don't really call myself anything. I guess the owner.
The inventor. You made the whole thing up. It's amazing. I saw your story in D.C., and I'm here in Washington, D.C. for my listeners around the country, and I just fell in love with the story, your ingenuity, your creativity, and your drive to start this. So tell folks about the Green Things, and how did you come up with the idea?
I came up with the idea. I just wanted to start a business. I've been doing business stuff since I was like 7. A couple of years ago, I guess I started learning more about the environment, and I wanted to make sure that my business wasn't hurting the environment.
And that inspired you. So, and I know you're a vegan yourself. So what is a vegan candle company? How is that different from a regular candle company?
Some candle companies, they use beeswax in their candles, and I don't have any additives in my candles.
Where did you figure out how to do this? I feel like this is such an amazing skill for a full-fledged adult, let alone somebody that's got to balance high school and everything else. How did you figure out how to do it?
I just spent a lot of time researching before I started.
Researching how? What did you look up?
I was looking up like what was the right materials for candles, and then researching what the most eco-friendly material would be, and then researching all the different temperatures and times and things to make the candles come out well.
So initially you got started and you were, you know, making, I think I read in the article, was it about a dozen a week? Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, I was doing about a dozen a week, and that wasn't even every week because I was only really selling them in my parents' bookstore.
Gotcha. And I want to talk about your parents' bookstore and how that's inspired you. I think that's such an awesome thing as well. But once they started giving you a little advertising, the demand picked up a little bit. So you went from just 12 a week to how many per week are you doing now?
In like the past 2 weeks, I think I made over 100 candles.
That's unbelievable.
200, I don't know. It was a lot of candles.
How are you then doing the logistics of you buy the products, you make everything, you ship them out? How tough has that been?
It was just after there was so much stuff. I thought I had enough wax and like containers and wicks, but then in the middle of making them. And I was like, I thought I bought enough wax to make 160 of them. And then I ran out. So it's kind of stressful at times.
Well, I'm sure it is because the orders have come in and the demand is there. And you've got, of course, you know, keep your customers satisfied. And that kind of leads me to my question. What's been the biggest challenge for you so far in doing this? Because people, obviously, when you run a business, you want people to want your product, right? That's the most normal course of events. You want people to be intrigued by it. But once they are, you got to meet that demand. And so that can be your answer. But what has been the biggest challenge about running your own business that you've encountered so far?
The biggest challenge would have to be making everything in a timely manner. And then also, I'm still learning to make the candles better as time goes on. So like changing what I'm doing at points in the middle of making a batch.
Have you adjusted your making process as you've learned more?
Yeah, I've adjusted the temperatures a little bit.
So you mentioned your parents and the bookstore that they own. I love their story as well. Must be kind of cool, by the way, to have a bookstore named after you. That's pretty neat. But how much of that has influenced you in wanting to start your own business and kind of trying to reach the bar that they've set in terms of entrepreneurship and being driven to see your own ideas come to fruition? I'd love for you to talk about their influence on you.
mostly they're just helping me figure out how to do everything. I've learned most of what I know from them, from just watching them handle everything and how to handle things in customer service and things like that.
There's so much community focus in your parents and their mission and their story. And it seems like you've got some of that same thing going on here with the Green Things. Could you talk about that a little bit? How you don't just want this to be a business, but you see this as maybe part of a community, not only close to you, but at large. I'd love for you to talk about how business and community kind of meet each other with what your folks do and with what you do.
I want to try and start giving back to like help the environment, especially helping donating money to help organizations that have serious goals and helping the earth and things like that.
Do you feel like you're famous now? In a way?
No, I don't really feel like I'm famous.
Well, like there are degrees of fame, right? Like if you were on the street in Los Angeles, I don't know if anybody would stop you and be like, oh my God, that's the girl with the candle business. But like you're more well-known than most of your classmates. Not everyone's been written up in DCist and, you know, is getting to do interviews and stuff like that. I mean, how have you handled that a little bit, that there's some recognition that's come with this?
Well, most of it's been pretty fine because a virtual school, so there's not really much interaction, but like a couple of my teachers saw my business and things like that.
And it really is neat, though. I think it's so awesome what you're doing. So just in terms of this year, you mentioned virtual school. I've got a son who's 7 years old, by the way, and he hasn't started any businesses yet. So I'm definitely going to plan this episode and say, hey, by the way, you should probably start a business because my guest this week started a business when she was seven. But how has this pandemic year affected you as a student and as well trying to run your own business that's getting started?
Honestly, in my opinion, I've enjoyed the being at home and this lockdown and the virtual school. And it's made things, like, in my opinion, made things a lot easier for me, giving me more time to focus on my business. And I'm able to finish my, like, some classes a little earlier, so I can just go straight downstairs and continue working until I wait for my next class to start.
That's pretty awesome. Sneaking it in where you can get it in. That's really cool. Where do you want to see your business be in 5 years?
In 5 years, I think I would like for my business to be able to like run without me, so I can like run a photography business or like a bakery or something.
That's amazing. So if you went in, are you familiar with the show Shark Tank? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
So when they come in and people pitch their business to them and things like that, what would your pitch be to a Shark Tank-like environment, right? Where you get these millionaires or whatever who could invest in it. What would your pitch be like if you were to go in front of somebody like that?
My pitch, I would probably like, I make these handmade candles from scratch using completely environmental and vegan materials, and you're helping out a young teen entrepreneur.
I like it. It's a good elevator pitch. So because they're environmentally safe and they don't use some of the same materials that other candles use, I imagine, and you said handmade, there's going to be some craftsmanship and there's going to be some expertise that goes into this. And I think that's awesome. Sort of craft things have made a significant comeback in this country, probably over the last 15 years or so. You look at places like Etsy, where people are you know, selling handmade goods. How do you get the average consumer, like an average idiot like me who just wants to buy a candle for my wife, because, you know, she likes a scent or something like that. How do you get someone like me that wouldn't know the difference to say, hey, care about this, care about the way this is made over kind of the regular process? Does that make sense? How would you try to sell to somebody that doesn't know the difference?
Probably just like something handmade. It's like coming straight from someone else's house and then into yours. So kind of connects you more than something being made in a factory by robots.
I think that's exactly right. That can even be a tagline. The Green Things, not made by robots. I think that would be very cool. Where do you get your ideas from in terms of the different products that you want to sell?
I mostly probably just get them from my life and the things that I like or my parents like. So like my mom loves candles. And yeah, it's mostly just things from like my house and my parents.
There's so much that I think is amazing about what you're doing and what you've done, and you're very modest about it. But I think something that I find to be really, really difficult and really, really hard that you've seemed to have mastered and made look very easy are all the web presences that you have, marketing things. And if somebody goes to your website It's beautiful. It's so well done. And it just, it's inviting and it's simple and all the products are there. And it just makes you feel like this is not a 15-year-old in high school. This is a seasoned professional that's done this forever. How did you learn how to do all these marketing things? How did you learn how to do sort of the web design that is so, again, expertly done? How did you learn how to do all this stuff in such a short amount of time?
I mean, I've probably been making websites since like early elementary. Well, yeah, sometime in elementary school, like fourth or fifth grade, and like watching my dad make websites. And most like website platforms, they have like tutorials, or like they're mostly, it's just putting in your stuff and then designing how it looks. But most of them, I'm not like coding websites or anything. I don't really know how to do that.
Well, I bet you could learn. I'll tell you that. But again, I really am a remarkable. I think it's just so remarkable. And your Instagram account and kind of your social media presences and the like. How do you decide what you want to put out there in terms of your branding and marketing kind of materials? Is that difficult for you, or is it just whatever you're inspired with that day? Are you cognizant of, I want to make sure people see this, or is it just, hey, I think this is nice and I'll throw it out there? Do you see the distinction?
Yeah, it's kind of mostly just like in the day, and I'm doing some like, I guess I should probably show people things. Or my mom likes to post things on my Instagram a lot without advising me first.
Well, I would say for a lot of moms, that might be something that would be negative, but your mom knows what she's doing. So I bet you that's a fun tug of war there. The last thing I want to ask you about, Mahogany, before I let you jump, and you've been so generous with your time already, but you mentioned 5 years where you'd want it to be. You've got aspirations just beyond this. What do you think you want to do ultimately in terms of your career journey, your life? Or do you want to own your own business? Or you mentioned photography as well. I know that's something you're interested in. What do you want to do eventually?
My career, it's kind of a lot. I want to be a paramedic as well as like a filmmaker or a music video maker, and still run my own businesses. Like I want to have a cafe or a bakery.
Vegan, I'm assuming?
Yeah, vegan.
Well, this is awesome. I will certainly tell people where to find everything that you've done. And it really is cool. And you're really, really impressive. And I wish you the best of luck. This was a real treat to be able to talk to you. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to my guest, Mahogany Young, as well as her parents. We're very kind to allow me to have a conversation with her, Derek and Ramunda Young. Their bookstore, by the way, well worth checking out in its own right. Really, really cool, some of the things that they do there in Anacostia, Washington, D.C. Mahogany Books. Again, it's a pretty good name, if I do say so myself. Really, really neat. And their story is awesome as well. And I think, you know, the inspiration probably is a two-way street at this point. So, I mean, imagine this. I mean, first of all, how cool is that kid? How awesome is Mahogany? I can't overstate this. I can't get enough of it. And, you know, she's so modest and, you know, just kind of very matter of fact about, well, I thought I maybe want to do something that helps the environment, so I'm just going to go ahead and do that. I mean, think about that. Think about the action, the ability to take idea and transform it, not only into action, not only a one-off, not only I made a candle that time, right? But no, this is now what I'm doing, and to refine the process and to improve and be sort of relentless in that desire. And it's one of those things. It's a fun reality, right? Where you do something and it turns out, sorry, it's a smash hit. Sorry, everybody loves it. That's what happened. They flew off the shelves at Mahogany Books. So next thing you know, you got a business on your hands. And balancing that is just so amazingly mature and so beyond her years. It's something that I think any adult, if this is all they did, would struggle to do. And she handles it with such grace. And she's got the guidance of her folks who clearly have their heads on straight about that. But just kind of a number of answers again that stuck out. The taking, and I think this is what I think struck me. So I was trying to figure out why this story struck me the way that it did, right? Because there are plenty of feel good stories out there, but something about this one really hit close to home, and I think I found it really relatable. And here's why. Here's what I liked about it. This is what I believe in. This is what I am passionate about. This is what I like to do. Let me make that into what I do. Let me take that, something that I believe in, something that I feel so strongly about that's close to me, near and dear. She's a vegan and has just, you know, sort of looked at the world at large and said, you know, this is where I think we not only have a marketplace, but have something where we can improve. And that becomes a project. That becomes something more than just the idea, something more than you just write down or turn in a paper in English class. This is actually now the business. Again, it's the Green Things. Go to thegreenthings.com and check it all out. Great selection of a number of products. That, I think, is what struck me so hard. And as somebody that's very fortunate and very blessed and lucky to be able to do what I'm passionate about, right, which is talk about sports and the teams that I love here in the greater Washington, D.C. area, and been able to do stand-up and, you know, tour the country and North America as a comedian and get on stage and tell jokes, I've been able to pursue my passions and have had, I would say, a small, moderate degree of success where I get to do it for a gig. And I think that's what resonated with me so much. But I would just love to have a quarter of the motivation, the drive, the wherewithal, the maturity to do this. Because think again, this is not just I made a candle and I took it to a flea market or something. This is coding. This is, you know, JavaScript. This is making a full website. This is having e-commerce. This is the full deal where you have to manage your time, your expectations, your inventory, your product, you're ordering supplies, you're honing that process. It's got to be more and more efficient. If you just go from making 12, as she told that story, I think she went from 12 to 100. Now, to a professional candle company, that's all they do. Yeah, they've been doing that. They understand that. When it's the other thing that you do, once homework is done, I'm sure, and once all your reading and school assignments are finished, to be able to maintain that and kind of keep building this business as it's gone is just remarkable to me. And it's something that I think everybody should kind of stop and take notice of. It's one of these stories that I think is just so damned feel good. And just pardon my French there. I usually don't try to curse on these things, but sometimes I get very passionate. But Mahogany, that was awesome. And it was really, really cool to speak with Mahogany and kind of listen about her experiences and what she was sort of, you know, what motivated her. Because she made it sound so simple, didn't she? Where she was just like, yeah, I know, I thought we could use something. So I just went ahead and did it. I went ahead and solved it. And it's that sort of take on the world type of attitude, I think, that is just so refreshing when you find a young person that's wise beyond her years. So congrats to Mahogany and congrats to her, to wonderful folks as well. Thanks again to them for letting her hop on. And the you know, kind of those lessons learned, even if making candles in 15, 20 years is not ultimately what she does. And it was interesting to hear some of her hopes and dreams when you talk about using her photography skill set and things like that. Again, one of the great promotional tools she has is her Instagram account. And you can check it out there as well. It is just, it's beautiful. It reminds me of the episode we did a couple months ago with my good friend Steele Marcoux of Veranda magazine. And you know, they have this brand, they have this aesthetic, and they do these pictures, and it's this great, you know, sort of modern but Victorian and all this, you know, extravagant beauty, and it sort of fits the model and fits the brand. Well, Mahogany's found a way to do that for hers as well, just sort of intuitively as doing that kind of stuff. And I think things like this are so awesome. And again, I've probably oversaid that this episode, but I thought this would be a nice way to kick off 2021. This to me is as positive as I could find. Right? And this is why I wanted to have this be the premiere episode of the brand new year. So with that, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode. Thank you to Mahogany once again and her folks, Derek and Ramunda, for letting me borrow her for a few minutes to do an interview. That was fun for me to be able to do it. Appreciate them. And again, check out thegreenthings.com for all that stuff. And as I said, that's going to do it for us for here. You can follow us at You Seem Interesting on the old Instagrams, at @interest_pod on Twitter, patreon.com/funnydanny. Again, you could check out some of the other kinds of posts we're going to start doing. I promise there's going to be more content coming here in the new year. My schedule's changed on 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C. I'm doing afternoons now. I'll be on at 2 o'clock starting in, well, probably today, actually. If you're getting this is on Monday, January 11th, when we're releasing this. So today, 2 to 6:30 p.m., I will be doing the afternoon drive show with my co-host, Grant Paulson. Can't wait to do that. But it might free me up to do some more projects and be able to write a little bit more and do some video and things like that. So please do subscribe if you are want to and are able to. That'd be really, really cool. Otherwise, you can wait for the podcast to drop on all your normal podcasting platforms. We are, you know, iTunes and Amazon Music and Spotify and all of those good places. So thanks to my producer as well, Andrew Russell of Kiwanda Sound, kiwandasound.com, for all of those sound editing needs. Until next time, you seem interesting.